Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
Thank you, Nancy. And you can sign up to be a scripture reader. We'd love to have you. I appreciate all the persons that have done it. And remind you, Lay Sunday is coming up the Sunday after Easter, so you can talk orally. Is there a sign-up sheet in the back? We can talk orally, or Cliff or someone.
Or Patty Hall.
Talk to somebody. Paul is going to preach that Sunday, so it'll be very exciting. Preaching from the Old Testament today. I normally preach from the New Testament, and Jeremiah is one of the prophets. And more than any other prophet, Jeremiah suffered as a result of his preaching. People rarely listened to his pronouncements. They didn't like what he had to say. And no wonder, it seemed even to Jeremiah that all he ever talked about was bad news. At one point, Jeremiah cried out, "Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. Who wants to hear that?" Jeremiah came from a family of priests, and God called him to become a prophet at a very early age, and he served as a prophet for 40 years. He spoke God's word during the reigns of kings and witnessed the nation's destruction by the Babylonians. He is called the weeping prophet because he also wrote the book of Lamentations after Jerusalem was destroyed, including the temple was torn down and his people carried off into captivity. Jeremiah was also called the suffering prophet, who was persecuted by kings and rejected by his own people because of his forceful condemnation of idolatry that was going on in Israel at the time and social injustice against the people. Jeremiah was killed in Egypt by his own countrymen who had fled there. God had called Jeremiah to tell it like it is to the people who had disregarded God's laws. They rejected his teachings, and the people suffered because of it. And Jeremiah suffered as well because of his rejection by the people. So it's quite refreshing to come to today's reading from Jeremiah. No fireworks, no scolding, no fussing, no condemnation of the people of Israel. Jeremiah changes his tone completely. This passage was written during Israel's exile. It was a dark time in Israel's history. It's often been said that the task of a prophet is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Jeremiah had done his job superbly of afflicting Israel when it was so in comfort with sin. Now's the time for him to be a comforter during their time of exile. In fact, the section of Jeremiah is often called the Book of Consolation. The words are so beautiful and so profound that they are welcome to our ears as they were to Jeremiah's audience at that time. The scripture that was read says, "This is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." I love that passage of Scripture. God is making a new covenant with Israel. Pastor Jeff Strike compares Israel's situation to a situation in our own land not too long ago. You remember the mortgage rates went up to 9 and 10%. And when they began to drop, what did people do? They refinanced at a lower rate so they could save money. They signed new contracts with the bank. Jeremiah is saying that God is unilaterally making a new contract or a new covenant with the people of Israel. God is giving the people of Israel a chance to begin anew, afresh. That's the wonderful thing about God, isn't it? God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and even all the chances really that we need. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of the Holy Spirit. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. A wonderful thing to do. The young woman had a rough past involving drugs and alcohol and even prostitution. But the change in her was very, very evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church, and she eventually came involved in the ministry of teaching the young children. It was not long, though, when a thoroughly converted young man, or young woman, caught the eye of the pastor's son. The relationship grew, and they began to make wedding plans, and this is when the problem began. About one half of the church did not think a woman with this type of past should be allowed to marry the pastor's son. The other half said, yes, she can. Yes, they can. So the church people decided to have a meeting amongst themselves. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting got completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things being brought up about her, people in the congregation standing up, saying all these nasty things about her. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood up to speak, and he could not bear the pain that this was causing his fiance, his wife-to-be that he loved so much. And his statement to the congregation was this: my fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ to wash away our sin and to make us new persons. And then he asked the congregation, so does he wash away sin or not? Powerful question. Does Christ wash away sin or not? If he does not, every single one of us in this church today are in deep trouble. Every one of us. Reverend Dennis Becker used the analogy of a trick bar of soap. The trick bar looks like a real bar of soap, but when you wash it, you get dirty instead of clean. The more you wash, the dirtier you get. Now, he recalls watching an episode of the old television program Candid Camera. When I found this example, I remember seeing this show because I loved Candid Camera with Alan Funt. Well, Funt planted a fake bar of soap in a public washroom and recorded the reactions of the people who washed their hands with it. You know, the more they wash, they're getting dirty and dirty, and they're looking around. They don't understand why they're getting dirty. What's wrong? It was comical. And it might be comical if soap did not get our hands clean. But it would not be comical, it would be tragic, if Jesus Christ did not wash our sins away and make us whiter than snow. In Jeremiah, God says to us, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And when I say I love that passage of Scripture, I love it. Remember my sins no more. God is the God of second chances. God has a contentious relationship with Israel and indeed with all of humanity. But Israel was God's chosen people. They were to be a light unto the world and get his message out. And in this passage from Jeremiah, God calls himself a husband to Israel, but Israel is continually going astray and having to be called back into relationship. God keeps tugging Israel back. God loves Israel so much that he just cannot leave her in sin. A few years ago, and I read a lot of his novels, John Grisham wrote a book entitled The Testament. The key figure in the novel is a disgraced corporate attorney named Nate O'Reilly. Nate is plagued by alcoholism and drug abuse. After two marriages, four detox programs, and a serious bout with dengue fever, and yes, that's a real thing, Nate acknowledged he needed God. And listen to how John Grisham describes this transformation. With both hands, he clenched the back of the pews in front of him. He repeated the list of his sins, mumbling softly every weakness and flaw and affliction and evil that plagued him. He confessed them all. In one long, glorious acknowledgement of failure, he laid himself bare before God. He held nothing back. He unloaded enough burdens to crush any three men. And when he finally finished, Nate had tears in his eyes. "I'm sorry," he whispered to God. "Please help me." As quickly as the fever had left his body, he felt the baggage leave his soul. With one gentle brush of the hand, his slate had been wiped clean. He breathed a massive sigh of relief, but his pulse was still racing. Now, this is a fictional account of a real experience that countless people around the world have had throughout history when Christ came into the world and came into their hearts and they understood that their sins were forgiven. They have found themselves and they have been made clean. And they have been able to make a new beginning. Here's the really good news of the day. We all have a chance to start over. Not just the first time we accept Christ, but as Christians, when we go on this journey, and it's a hard, difficult journey at times, and we make mistakes, and we outright sin at times. But as we read in our response of reading, the scriptures say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this is written to the Christian. None of us can be perfect. The past is blotted out. A new covenant with God is possible for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ has made a new covenant with us. I said a moment ago that a new covenant with God is possible for us. It's not really a new covenant. It's a covenant that God had planned from the beginning of time. You remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin." The covenant has already been made, but many of us have not accepted the covenant in our life. And I don't just mean here, but in our community that need to. God said through Jeremiah, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." That happens as soon as we welcome Christ into our lives. It is why we speak of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that bears witness to God's Word. It is the Spirit that puts God's law in our minds and writes it on our hearts. And we don't need the stone tablets anymore. And it happens to us the moment we confess our sins, repent of those sins, and invite Christ to make a new home within our hearts. Bishop William Willimon visited his mother in California and attended church with her home church. And that Sunday, the pastor was away, so they invited Chuck Colson to come speak. I think most of us have heard of him. He was one of the most trusted presidential advisors, an ex-Marine officer who convicted of several counts of felony, stripped of his license to practice law, and served time in a federal prison. Willimon's mother leaned over to her son and whispered rather loudly, "You know, I haven't come here to church to listen to some jailbird preach." Willimon responded, "But Mom, he has a conversion experience. He has given his life to Christ." "That's what they all do when they come before the parole board," she said. Colson began his sermon by telling the congregation how different it was for him to be preaching in this large, beautiful, wealthy congregation being televised to millions of people. The congregation he typically preached to consisted, he said, of murderers and rapists and thieves. Then he shocked them by asking, "Do you know which group Jesus was more comfortable with?" He went on to attack the congregation for their materialism, their greed, and the insensitivity to the poor. Willimon's mother turned to her son at the conclusion of the sermon and said, "I hope that he's having a good time preaching today, because he's not ever getting invited back here." Now, I don't know if Colson was ever invited back to that church or not, but I do know that Chuck Colson is one of those people that is living proof that lives can be changed through a relationship with the Lord Jesus. God says through Jeremiah, "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Man, that's good news to me. God is the God of second chances and third and on down the line. And maybe today you need the opportunity to make a new start today. You can. Maybe you've already accepted Christ. You have a relationship with Christ, but you're not walking the path that you should. You have that opportunity to confess your sins. Begin anew again. Maybe you need a second chance. Personally, I think we all do. May God bless you. Amen.